Well, this is Buzz Knight, the host of the Taking a Walk podcast, and we're here in the Mary Cummings Park for this episode here in lovely Burlington, Massachusetts. Now, this podcast started out of the love of storytelling and connection. And if you're a regular listener, I want to thank you so much. Please share it, write a review, subscribe to it, all the above. But if you're a first timer, we try to tell stories that highlight the wisdom, the perseverance, the creativity of cool people, victories, either occurring quickly or after a long haul. And this is a story I absolutely love with someone I'm so proud of and awe of, Julie Russell, the founder of Fangirl Fantasy. Now, I'm quite surprised that I was able to elbow my way through her assistants to get some time with her. I don't really know how this happened. It must have been bribery, I'm thinking, Julie. It's so nice to see you and to be taking a walk.
Of course. No bribery. Of course, when you asked, I said, tell me where to be and I will be there.
Well, so it's so great to see you. It's been a while. Let's tell the audience first a little bit how we met. Okay? Because
yes.
I think it's a pretty funny story.
When you scared me?
How did I do that?
You remember? So we met at the radio. I was the promotions coordinator at 985. I just remember this story so specifically.
Good. Go for it anyway, too. Bring me down.
Well, it's not when we met, but I just remember where I sat. You're like the office, like down the hall a little bit, but Kelly Anderson and Mike Thomas were like, just in front, like their offices were diagonal from me, and I think you were talking to Mike, and I didn't know you were there, and you were like hidden behind a wall. I almost had a heart attack. I almost fell out of my seat. I think I yelled. I think I like.
You screamed.
Yeah. I think I was like, holy.
Yeah. But I think what used to happen is what I think we would, you know, once the day and the week had sort of evolved, I think essentially I would stop and see you guys, or you guys would stop and see me, and we would do shtick for each other, right?
Yeah, pretty yeah. Much. We got dragged into the esports.
Oh, yes. We did.
That's how.
Yes. We would share our
love.
Daily or weekly saga.
Yeah, our love for esports.
Yeah.
And that's how.
Yeah. But it was a lot of, what was so great is just, you know, finding you guys and seeing what you were up to and just hanging out because I was, you know, in that back office there. No one mm-hmm. to this
no
day.
No one really knew you were back there.
And no one really to this day knew what I did.
Yeah. No, I will. 100. Everyone's like, we all just know it's like Buzz, Cadillac, like Mike. You're just kind of like the guys like in charge. And then but they're like, I don't know what any of them. Everyone's like, I don't know what any of them do.
My wife said that. Back then and to this day, she says the same thing. So we worked together during that period. I left toward the end of 2019.
Yes.
And, you know, we had stayed in touch. You left, quote unquote.
Left. They kicked me out that door. No, thank God they did.
And that was in 2020.
Yeah. So I got furloughed. Like, right when, like, the COVID, like, in March, and then I got completely laid off in September, October time of 2020.
And
so I had a nice little summer break.
But what's so amazing about this is there's people who are listening to this that I'm sure this has happened to. And what I love about your story and why I'm so glad that we're going to be taking a walk, which we could start in a second, is you never look back. Like, you never had a second of looking back.
Mm-mm.
How did you muster up that courage and resolve, really? And I'm not, I know I sound like I'm being a wise ass, but I really mean that. Let's go walk, too.
I guess, basically, I mean, I had my company since 2019, is when it started. So while I was at the radio station, like, I was on the side building out everything and still doing Fangirl Fantasy, but the sports hub and radio was my full-time job. And it was kind of like, I mean, I love the sports hub. I think out of all the radio stations I work for, it was like there's the most to do. I learned the most, I think. So like, and radio was always my dream. Like, always, like, Maddie in the morning, listened every single morning. Like, I went to all the events, like, winning the concert tickets. Like, oh, that was me. 100% the radio fan.
So go being, this way, down this track. Sure.
So being able to, like, work and, like, be in a full-time position and work for so many different stations in Boston was just, like, the dream. And then it kind of got to the point where I'm not a 9-to-5 girl. Like, and even at events, like, I got to work all the events and, you know, I wasn't always at my desk. But I can't do that. My brain doesn't work that way. I'm a very creative person. I like to be going 110 miles an hour. So when COVID hit, it kind of gave me... It forced me, really, like, when I got laid off to be like, all right, now or never. Like, you kind of, you're in a position that you're getting paid to be home, and you have nothing else to focus on except everything that you want to build. So, Fangirl Fantasy is an events company, but there's no events, obviously, because COVID hit. So I was kind of just building everything else. I created a podcast, and I interviewed fangirls who made it into the music and entertainment industry, and showing that there's another path. Just because you, like me, love the Jonas Brothers and have met them 100 times, you're the one camping outside, all that, like, there's a career path, you know? There's a career path for anyone. You can turn your passion into a job. And so that's kind of interviewing different women in the industry that have done that. And so I was building that out. Then I was building out a team of interns and assistants to work under me and help me kind of build our social content. And then just figure out, okay, be prepared at every moment that they could lift all these bands and 10,000 people could fit in a venue again. So I was just making sure, like, I had all the events ready, I had the team ready, travel, and that was kind of what I focused on the whole entire time while COVID was happening of 2020 and 2021.
So yeah, the foundation was being laid. Mm-hmm. You were, you know, sort of getting your brand out there in terms of what you were doing with the podcast, which was audio and video.
Yes.
And you were really knowing that eventually the world was going to open up. So you were just getting yourself ready during that period.
Yes.
And were there any moments that you said, this is never going to happen? Did you just kind of look at something and think, well, God, I don't know how we're going to pull this off?
And it was just, you never knew, like, it was just to the point, we didn't do our first event back until last August. So August 2021, right? Is that what it'd be? What year is it? 2021. So it was a year and a half to almost 2 years of no events. So it was just like the waiting game, because it'd be like, no mass, you can do this, do that. So it was really like, we'd have events announced or like on hold at the venues to be able to go, but it was just, then are people even going to be comfortable to go out? You know, I don't want to also be that person to put, you know, no one has to go, but it's like, am I that jerk that's not being like, all right, need my company to like start, you know, happening. So it was like, is it too soon? You know, there's no right or wrong kind of situation. Like, it was just
especially
a weird time.
Especially with the regional aspect of things, or the city by city, because you've built this into a national brand.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just really... Yeah, there's times I'm like, I don't know when we're going to be able to do this again. But it was just, like I said, making sure that when we were able to do it, I was just completely ready at all times.
So how many people are part of your team?
So we have JD, who's the DJ he travels with me everywhere. Me and him are the ones that are at all the events. I have a project coordinator, Liv, who has been with me since our first event in 2019. She helps me with, like, all social. She helps me at all the Boston events and kind of coordinating everything and helping with the interns that we have. And then we have 3 interns who have been with me for about a year and a half now. They help with graphics, social, coming up with just different ideas and getting a different perspective on different fandoms that I might not be a part of but are detrimental to the music industry and the younger audiences. So they're really helpful on that end. And then we're building out the team right now with about 4 to 5 more DJs, and we're going to be building out different themes. And while me and JD are on the road, they'll be going other places and kind of building out so that Fangirl Fantasy can be in more places at once.
So how many cities have you hit?
Oh, goodness, probably... I think we're in our 50th event this year.
50.
Yeah.
Wow.
So... And I don't know how many, but we've done
I mean, I've seen the calendar. Yeah. It's like a full-time, like,
tour,
like I said, I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to get to Julie. She's a big deal here with this fangirl thing. She turned it into a monster.
Trying to.
So, yeah, I've seen a lot of the city spanned all over the place.
Yeah, it's super fun. I love to travel, and I always have, and so being able to, like, go to different cities, like,
aren't you glad you're back in the area and to experience the summer mosquitoes and bugs as we're walking here in Burlington?
That's exactly what I'm so glad to be here for. When I woke up this morning, I'm like, my allergies.
Yeah.
Because in LA, we don't got plant. We got palm trees. We got no wilderness like that. But I think it's fun. We just get to go to these different cities that I've never been to. Like, we're just in, like, Louisville and St. Louis. And it's like, unless you're traveling for something like this, I don't know when I would ever go there. And so just, like, you know, experiencing the different culture and food and realizing how different everything is.
So what are you finding out there in terms of the cities? Because I hear stories from people that travel to St. Louis as an example. You brought up St. Louis. And obviously, you know, cities have been hard hit the last couple of years. So what are you finding in the cities first that you're seeing as you go across the country?
A lot of these downtown areas, when we go, they're just empty. And I think it is, when I think of downtown, like, I'm thinking of Boston and Faneuil Hall. And, like, it's busy nonstop everywhere. You know, tourists everywhere. But some of these cities, like, yeah, St. Louis, like, except for the Arch, there wasn't much going on, and even there was, like, the restaurants and stuff around there, they were just empty, and, like, vacant too. Like, there's not even a restaurant or anything in these buildings. It's so sad to see.
And you said, I think Columbus was on your list coming up. Have you been to Columbus?
This will be our second time going to Columbus, and we're in like a more downtown area too. And with Austin, we're there, we sold it out, and it was like 800 people. And I always just wonder too, it's like, how far are they traveling from in Columbus? Because, you know, I'm from Billerica, so going to an event in Boston.
The mean streets of Billerica.
The dirty Rick. but, I mean, I haven't lived there since I was 18, so, like, I've never experienced, like, going out to a bar or a club and then going, having to get back to Billerica or anything like that. But I'm like, there's no T-stops. There's no, like, commuter rails in some of these cities. So I'm like, sometimes just the commitment these people are doing to come to our events is so crazy.
Well, and I noticed in Columbus, too, because I was there few months back, that even though the downtown is definitely kind of dead, you see a lot of cranes in these communities. So there is building, obviously, and growth.
But apartments, who's moving there? I want to know all that. Even in Brighton right now, they're just building and building and building. I'm like, who can afford how much you guys are charging for these, and who's moving there?
All right, I have another question. I see a lot of people on the roads, but yet all we hear is there's no jobs, or where are these people going?
I mean, people probably see us and be like, what are these two doing?
Well, it's okay. Taking a walk. Hey, I mean, so I don't know what's going on out there. It's kind of seems to be a lot of confusion, fair amount of anger, but you're unifying people around one common thing, which is the love of music.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think for me is like, once I was 14 to now, I was at every concert. If my favorite band or even a band that I learned that, like, opened for my favorite band, I was there. I just loved music, and some of my closest friends are friends that I met waiting outside to go meet the Jonas Brothers or waiting in the 12-hour line to make sure I'm barricade at the House of Blues. So now being able to, like, bring these people and these fans together, because sometimes, you know, these girls and friends don't see each other unless their favorite band comes to town and they, like, go to that concert and, like, I haven't seen you since. But now they get to go to a fangirl fantasy event and be like, oh, we're seeing them here and at the concert, and building just, like, a safe space for them to all come and hang out and not have to really worry about anything.
Yeah, it's a community.
Yeah, community, nothing better than it.
Really is, and it's something to look forward to and get excited about. I love how you describe fangirl as this unapologetic, mm-hmm, love around these bands, these musicians, these artists. Unapologetic.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm literally in this position because of the Jonas Brothers. I will scream it to the rooftop. Like, I was that girl wearing the merch at school, going to the concerts, going to New York to meet them, then going to class the next day. Anyone can say that. Like, that is Julie Russell's whole brand in high school, all of it. It's like, this is very on brand. You know, no one can say, like, I created this company and I'm not even a fan. You know, this isn't me. So for these girls to be able to just, like, have a place to do that, and, like, it was never cool. It was also never cool to be that music or fan geek, you know, if you want to say it. Because
really? Why? Why wasn't it cool?
I don't know. Like, you don't have anything better to do than, like, to love the Jonas Brothers or One Direction. But now it's like, okay, cool. Well, now turn around and look. The band's not even here, and there's 600 people here that love exactly what I love. And so it's just, yeah, building a community.
But what's also amazing is during this period, you as an entrepreneur building a brand. So if somebody's listening to this, and they're contemplating in their own head how to build something, how to build their own, you know, version of this. I don't say the same way, but mm-hmm. whatever their version is, what advice would you give to someone in terms of that process and that mentality?
I think in regards to, like, building a brand, you just need to, it needs to be what you're passionate about or you're educated on. Like I said, is, like, no one can say Julie Russell is not a fangirl, you know? So, like, this is very authentic and real. So I think finding something that, you know, that kind of matches that energy, but it's not easy. Like, people will be, like, looking, like, this past year, we've had a great year, and it's, like, on a really high pedestal. Everyone's like, oh my God, this and that. But they didn't see the 2 years before it, or, you know, when it was starting in 2019, and, like, you gotta start from somewhere. Like, I was paying, like, the DJs, like, out of pocket with Julie Russell's money that I made from the sports hub. Like, you know, like, and then I finally started making money and this and that, and I've gotten screwed at venues. I've, like, you know, I've gotten screwed through contracts because I don't know what the hell, like, how to, you know, what this meant or this meant. And so there's a lot of trial and error. Get through it, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of bumps, but if you actually really care about what you're doing and, like, really see the vision on it, it will happen, but it does not happen overnight. And that's, like, the one thing that, like, recently people are like, oh my God, it just blew up. I'm like, 3 years, and it's still not even where I want it to be, you know? And so it's, like, just that perspective, and, you know, everyone kind of sees one thing, and, you know, they see the highlight reel on social media. No one knows that I'm on calls 24/7. I have people below me that I have to answer to. I have this, this, and that. And so, yeah, I just, there's a lot of ups and downs, but it's fun. I love it. I'm my own boss. We get to go for a walk on a Monday morning.
What can be better, right? But it's a lonely road sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. No one gets it.
No one gets it like you, right? I mean,
yeah, and or isn't invested as, like, JD is very invested, I will say, like, and he's the person I get to lean on, and I have a great support system of, like, friends in the industry that are like, okay, cool, like, this and that. But there's a lot of just people who just see the success and now want to jump on. But yeah, it is lonely because there's days I'm just, like, sitting in front of my laptop for 10 to 12 hours doing Excel sheets. And, you know, or having to talk to my accountant or talk to this and, like, do all this little nitty-gritty stuff. And it's no one else's responsibility to do but me. It's not, you know, like, JD's or the interns. Or it's like, okay, this is stuff that Julie has to handle. Like, no one else but myself can handle.
Yeah.
And it's miserable.
Yeah. But that's the grind part about it. But the great part is you walk into a venue and you see a packed house,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't take that for granted, do you?
No. I had a conversation, though, the other day. It's like, it's really hard sometimes to live in the moment because you're thinking about 100 other things that are going on, or, like, that could be better, or this or that. And, you know, at the venues, I'm, like, making sure the music, you know, the music's good. We have merch that they're good. The photographer, I'm running in 100 different directions. And sometimes I'm like, okay, like, the event's halfway over and I haven't even I don't even know what songs have been played, you know, because I'm just not, so I've definitely learned to, like, be able to, like, I'll try to, like, always just, like, step back, go to the back of the venue or, like, you know, the side of the stage and kind of, like, soak it in and just, like, watch, but it can be real, and sometimes I don't, like, it doesn't soak in or, like, oh my god, we did this in this random city, like, we sold out, like, when we sold out Columbus, it was 800 people. I don't know anyone in Columbus. It was just all, you know, it was all just people that loved. Where Boston, it's way more special too because all of our friends get to go, and, you know, then there's people that will tag me that I didn't even know were going.
But there's nothing lightly that you take about the success doing Boston events.
No, obviously. No. It's home.
I mean, it's got to really tickle you just as much.
Definitely. And getting to enjoy it with my friends and getting, like, you know, them, because my friends that have been by my side and, like, watched the journey, they know, like, the real ones know, like, the time and effort, or me not going out, or me being like, sorry, I have to handle this, can't do that, or been with me when I'm on the phone, so they get to kind of, like, then watch it also come to life is really fun. And we recently just partnered with the Red Sox and did an event at Fenway.
Right, congrats, I saw that.
Thank you. So that one was also, and, like, you know, our support system of friends that showed up was, like, unmatched and so fun. So that's, like, the best part. And my dad came to his first event at Fenway, so that was
really
cool.
Did he behave himself?
Ah, we had to kick him out. He just got too rowdy. So it was really cool to, like, be able to, because it's really hard to explain what I do unless you see it.
Right.
So it was good to, like, be able to, like, have him come and check it out. And it was at Fenway Park, so it didn't really get any better than that.
Right. Oh my god. So has I assume the word of this has gotten to some of the artists that you celebrate.
Yes.
And what's their reaction been?
I mean, I think it's just easy marketing for all of them, first off, because their music is getting played. And we do a lot of, like, One Direction and 5 Seconds of Summer, which 5 Seconds of Summer used to open for One Direction. It's kind of like their little peak is, you know, how they got their fan, like, you know, starting fan base. But, like, you're not hearing Five Sauce in any other club, anywhere, any bar, maybe one or two radio singles, you know, you'll hear, but, so for that, it's just, like, we play their new music, we play their new singles, and so, like, if a One Direction fan came, but obviously, like, know some of the one, like, Five Sauce songs and this and that, like, and then we get to play their new single, that, like, there's fans in there that are probably hearing it for the first time. And then I also, you know, there's things like we have the doors open at, say, 8 p.m. Music, like, JD doesn't go on until 9. So we have, like, a playlist that I have curated that goes on. And so I'm always playing, like, new music for artists to kind of test out and see, like, where the, like, do fans know this song? Like, and I kind of just watch the crowd. And then I'm super fortunate that I'm in this industry, the entertainment industry. And so when I'm pitching things, I'll, like, also, okay, there's 700 people in the crowd, and I just played this new band, like a baby band that I really like. And so then I record the crowd and be like, hey, I just played your song in front. And it's, so I'm using it for, you know, other marketing strategies on my own and partnership opportunities. And so that's kind of, everyone knows, but it's also like, I gotta be careful too, like using Taylor Swift's name, you know? Yeah. So everything, business purposes is handled the correct way. But yeah, it's a dream is to have one of the artists come to the event, so we'll see.
I have no doubt that's going to happen. It's just when.
When and who, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then you get one, and then
the rest follow.
That's right, I believe. So that's part of the whole patience. So, besides that, where do you want to take this in the future? What are your dreams to go further on it?
Definitely, first is like having the artists come, but Fangirl Fantasy in general, and I think just in my background and music and entertainment, I would love to be like bring Fangirl as like a marketing resources for teams where these artists come to Fangirl Fantasy for fan engagement help and, you know, album rollout help or just kind of whatever they need, because we are in that niche of kind of what's going on, and, you know, we are the fans, we're the one consuming, where sometimes, you know, the teams don't know a best, you know, so bringing on, so I would love for that, working on some things in that direction. But every time I say like a goal and then something else happens, I'm like, I didn't even think that was a goal, but I just checked that off a bucket, you know, like I never thought Fenway Park, and then like I did it, and I'm like, I guess that was like a bucket list item, you know? So, yeah, there's a bunch of small little things that, like, personally I want to accomplish, but yeah, we'll see.
But you're doing other stuff too besides Fangirl, right? You're doing some day-to-day managing things of influencers and stuff, correct?
Yeah, so my other full-time job is I'm a day-to-day for some influencers and content creators in Los Angeles. So handle their whole scheduling calendar. I'm like the liaison between them and their agents and attorneys and kind of their whole team, and just kind of package it all together. So yeah, I always also do that.
But that's, where do you find those extra, you know?
There's always time.
29 hours.
There's always time for something. I'm super fortunate that the influencers and creators that I work for are super supportive. And I'm really lucky because there's not a lot of people like that in LA or in that space, because they want you for themselves. And so I'm super fortunate that the three that I work for are like, you're helping us like chase our dream. Like, we want you to be able to continue to do that. And like, none of that would be possible, because they could be like, no, you're not going to go travel on the weekends. Like, we need you here. So finding that the people that kind of support you is like really important. But I think just being my own boss at Fangirl, and then the different position I'm in, like with being a day-to-day, like I don't work out of an office. I work for, like, you know, I've been on calls for them all morning, and I have calls later for them. And so the remote kind of helps, you know, and like I can do my Excel sheets while on a call for someone, you know, for them. And I make their schedule, so I make my, and I make my schedule, so it kind of just works out in that way. There's always time.
There's always time. Julie, I'm so in awe and so happy for your success, and I see it growing even further by the day, by the week. Just keep pushing.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations on it, and I'm so grateful we got to reconnect and take a walk.
Me too. Thank you for having me on. I was so excited when I got your text.
And tell your assistant thank you for letting me get through to you.
Yeah, I will.
It took a while. Tell her.
It did not. I think if we look at the timestamp, I answered you in like 3 minutes.
Quick.
Yep, I am attached to my phone.
But I have to give you a hard time. Thanks, Julie.
Of course.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.